On Sunday, dozens of former young lords and supporters attended a commemoration at the First Spanish Methodist Church in East Harlem, marking the 40th anniversary of the group's founding. At its peak, the young lords had hundreds of members across the East Coast and provided services to their community through direct action, winning many concessions from the city government. The group twice occupied the First Spanish Methodist Church as part of a campaign demanding access to facilities for community services. I asked prominent Young Lord and Black Panther Party member Denise Oliver to discuss how the Young Lords addressed the lack of access to healthcare and healthcare services in their community.
We were so on target all of those years ago. We laid it out very clearly: community control of hospitals, free access to healthcare, mental health services, treatment services. We were looking at how those institutions should be run in our communities. It's not just about access to healthcare, but it's about how healthcare is administered. Almost every single major offensive that the Young Lords took part in was health related. And we learned that if you talked all of this ideology, you know, out of textbooks, it doesn't communicate. You communicate by taking direct actions that illustrate the points of your program. So if you believe that certain kinds of treatment is free, so then we went and we got the TB truck and we brought it into the community and it was free. If the hospital isn't serving the people, you organize with community members, hospital workers, staff, and doctors and take it over until you get some change.
Among their boldest actions, the Young Lords took over the condemned Lincoln Hospital in the South Bronx, which led to a new hospital being built to replace it. I caught up with Captain of Defense, Pai Diaz, and asked him to describe some of the actions he was involved in.
In Lincoln Hospital, what happened was there was a young Puerto Rican girl. The doctors were using needles, but the girl died. She was pregnant. We found out about that. We said it's time to take some immediate action, which is what we used to call it in those days, yeah? So we organized a bunch of people. We got a U-Haul truck. Me and Mickey Melendez were in charge of defense, so we had to go scoop the place out, find out what time the cops came, what time security changed, what we were going to take over. We got the chains to lock the doors. I came in with Mickey Melendez, and a security guard who was there tried hitting me with a club. So I've been doing martial arts since I was 9, so I was a captain of defense. I do Tai Chi, Kung Fu, and everything else. So I kicked the guy. He had a heart attack. I had to do 50 push-ups because of it. That was the discipline. And we took over the hospital and began to run programs. We had TB testing, lead poisoning, which we had done in the community prior to that. Another thing I was directly involved in was taking over the TB truck. What happened was that there was a tuberculosis testing truck in New York City that was always in the so-called white or middle-class neighborhoods, hardly ever came together. We went and met with them and said, can we please have that truck here in the barrio? They just threw us out. And who are these crazy guys, these berets, think they are, you know? So me and Yui, who his brother knows well, Mickey Melendez and Fee, went to 116th Street. The one time it came to the ghetto, we were going to take it. So Mickey Melendez drove the car. He crashed into a vendor selling mangoes and fruit, knocked everything over because he had never driven a TB truck before. We drove the truck to 103rd Street and tested more people in the 103 days that test in history. The doctors liked what we were doing so much that even though they were afraid of us at the beginning because we had anchacos and we were going crazy, they decided to volunteer and stay for 3 days. So they tested more people for tuberculosis than ever in history. So it was a dual triumph for us in being able to do that and serving the community and giving them services that they never really had before and that they don't have again now. I was involved in both church takeovers, the first one and the second. I climbed into the window over there with a pair of nunchakus. There was two cops inside. I think somebody had warned them that we were coming. What happened was the gentleman named Julio Roldan had been killed in the tombs. So we protested around that, and as part of the action, because we were with him when he had gotten busted, he didn't even have a belt, but he hung himself with a belt, which he didn't have. So I went down to the tombs to try to bail him out with Fee. Fee was a minister of finance, a couple of dollars we had, you know. They had taken his belt already. And then when we came up here, we came in through this window, took it over, threw the cops out, you know, basically, and took it over armed the second time. The first time was without arms, the second time was with arms. I think at that point we decided that if they're going to be killing our members and our people on a regular basis, then we have to escalate things a little. I was 15 years old then. I'm 55 now. I was told that I would be dead within 2 years as the FBI was coming to my house and threatening my mother and everybody else. And I made it past 17, so I'm happy to be here.
I also asked Pai Diaz how the Young Lords were received in the community.
At that time, they were very proud of us. Like when we marched in the Puerto Rican Day Parade for the first time, I think we were the most famous float in the whole place. Because the average poor person could relate to us. They would see us going to their doors and testing them, giving them free programs, free breakfast in this place. And so they got used to us serving the community.
As a result of government and police infiltration and internal division, the Young Lords Party disintegrated by 1976. However, their work continues to influence new generations of community leaders and activists to this day. I asked 2008 Green Party vice presidential candidate and community organizer Rosa Clemente to talk about the accomplishments and legacy of the Young Lords.
One of the most basic things that they got rid of was lead paint. Lead paint in projects and buildings. For years, young people were growing up in these projects where lead paint and they were getting sick and exposed. And the Young Lords, through their actions, forced the City Council of New York to pass a law that said we would no longer use lead paint. But I think now, as we're in this huge healthcare debate in this country in 2009, the young people right now need to pick up the mantle of the Young Lords and say maybe we need to start taking over these places that are supposed to give us healthcare, but really are giving us what I call deaf care.
That was community organizer and 2008 Green Party vice presidential candidate Rosa Clemente. From New York City, this is Jessel Knorr.